Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. I'd like to pause here and thank God for his reality today and every day, for that matter. And the title of today's podcast is Life Happens with Valentino Spencer. So we have another interview session today. Thank you, Val, for being with us on this podcast. And the first thing I'd like to ask you is, well, let me say this first of all, that the purpose of this program is to provide inspiration to people, our listening audience. And I think with the story that you have, at least what you've mentioned to me, can be very, very inspiring to people. So I'd like for you to introduce yourself and just tell us, why do you think your story should inspire people?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that it's a blessing to even be here today. At one point in time in my life, I had no clue what God had in store for me, just like so many of us. But I have come to realize that he will allow us to go through some of the things that we have to go through in this lifetime in order to get to know him. I realized that it was God that brought me out of my situation that I was in, and I'm so thankful that he did, because he has placed people in my life today that has been nothing more than a blessing to me. I took to the streets many, many years ago, just trying to find myself, but I ended up finding myself in more trouble than I realized. But then again, I feel in my heart that it was God that allowed me to go through this.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I was just talking with you before we came on the air about one of my favorite scriptures, Romans 8:28, and it says, all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And sometimes we don't understand everything that happens, and we might not even realize some of the things that are happening to us. But I think that's what you're saying, is that the things that you've gone through in your life, in your early life, did have a purpose. And you realize what that purpose is now.
I do, William. When I look back over my life and where I work at today, I can't help but to realize how God is using me, which I never thought in a million years that he would use me. You know, you were speaking about one of your favorite verses. One of mine says, Corinthians 3:5, let no man deceive himself. Any man consider himself to be wise, and that man need to become a fool, that he may become wise. I had to become the man that I was in order to be the man who I am today. So I'm grateful, because how else can one be a witness to God if he never been through the fire? So I've been through the fire, and I realized that it was God that brought me out of the fire.
Well, at some point, we do come to that realization. We might not realize it at the time, as I said a minute ago. But, and we might not even agree, or at least see it, that God is taking us through something that will benefit us in the future. And Val, that's what I believe. I think that we just have to trust God, especially when we come to know him and know what he's all about. We have to trust that whatever he does in our lives will be for our benefit, even if it's something that we don't necessarily want to go through. And of course, you've gone through a whole lot. Now, you mentioned Corinthians. Is that 1st or 2nd Corinthians?
1st Corinthians.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5?
Yes.
Okay. You mentioned something else, you touched on it, but before I get to that, and that is your life at home, as well as your venture into the streets and learning more about life, and that is what you do right now, and I think you're going to touch on that, but you didn't really get into it, but tell us what you do right now.
Well, right now, I'm an employee at the Wake at Raleigh Flea Market on Hillsborough Street. I've been there now going on 12 years. And this is how I know that God has been using me when I didn't know, because I've had people to come up to me and ask me questions and stuff, and then it's when I see the move of God moving inside of me, because there are things that come out of my mouth that I know is not of me, but of God. We never know from one minute to the next what God has in store for us. But I come to learn and realize that once we humble ourselves under his mighty hand, then he will exalt us in due time, in due seasons. I never thought in a million years that I'd be where I'm at today, running a flea market. But I also realized that it was God's will, because this is where I meet a lot of people.
Okay, you mentioned the flea market, and you said you've been there for how many years?
12.
12 years? Okay. Well, that's great. And I know that, by the way, from the Bible study that we attend. And, of course, your friend, I believe his name is
Jim Branch.
Jim Branch,
yes.
Right. And on occasion when we're in Bible study, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later, he mentioned that your work at that particular facility. And like I said, you can talk a little bit more in depth on that a little bit later. But let's go back to the time when you were coming up, your family. I know we had an event about, I guess it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. It was your birthday,
yes.
As a matter of fact.
Yes,
it was. I met your brother, and when I came to the facility where the party was being held, I saw your brother at a distance, and I was thinking that it was you, and then when I got close, I realized that it wasn't you, that you were somewhere else.
But yes.
In other words, your brother, I don't know whether you all are twins or not, but mm-hmm. I could tell that you are siblings. But anyway, tell us about your home life.
Well, coming up as a child, my mother and dad passed when we was very young. They separated when we was young. My daddy died when he was 42 years old. I was 11 at the time, and I was very close with my dad. And I liked the way he dressed and the way he just carried himself. But after his pass, I kind of found life a little hard without my dad being there. So I met some guys, you know, that was much older than me coming up. And they introduced me to a lot of things that I really kind of enjoyed doing at the time. I mean, I enjoyed the money. I enjoyed the lifestyle. And all. I learned how to sell drugs, of course. And as I got older, I robbed 3 banks. And later on, I broke into a jewelry store and got quite a bit of jewelry, and I didn't sell, I would trade it for cocaine to make more money. And so during that period of time, I had what we call back during the days, a liquor house. So I was running a liquor house and selling drugs and stuff out of there. Later on, I became my best customer. I started using my product. And that took me to another phase in life, as far as the cocaine abuse and the heroin.
So you were with these people who were your friends, at least you thought that they were your friends at the time. And basically you were in a comfort zone.
I was. You know, I even to this day, I still consider them my friends, because, like I said early on, we never know what God has in store for us. So I feel like it was it's weird that I met these people because I would have never known what it was like to endure some of the things that I had to endure. But we just, you know, we go through life not knowing anyway from one moment to the next what's going to happen. So God saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And he allowed me to hang out with these guys. You know, like I said, they was much older than me. They dressed real well. And it was something like out of a TV movie. And I seemed like I was a part of that movie.
Well, it's kind of difficult sometimes not to follow the crowd, especially when you're coming up and you see all these attractive things. And of course, that's one of the ploys of the enemy. That doesn't help. And you have your own desires, your fleshly desires. That certainly doesn't help. And when you add all these things together, you can very easily end up with the wrong crowd.
Yes.
And like I said, it becomes a comfort zone for you. And it's, it makes it even more difficult to leave that lifestyle. But you did lead that lifestyle. So tell us about that. How did you get away from that kind of situation? Was it the incarceration, or did you, was there something else before you were incarcerated as far as leaving that particular, or did you leave
lifestyle? Like I said earlier on, you know, we never know what God has in store for us. So once I started using my own product, I became very weak spiritually, mentally, and physically. I stopped really caring about anything. All I wanted was to just get high. You know, I figured if I get high, then that would just take me away from reality. You know, one of my favorite songs was by The Temptation, Cloud Nine. You can be what you want to be. You know, as long as you're on them drugs, you can be anything you want to be. So one night, after an all-nighter being out getting high, my mother, she introduced me to God many, many years ago, even though I didn't want anything to do with God, but I was having too much fun. I didn't want to be that hypocrite, you know. Be God, you know, be holy and sanctified on Sunday and do my thing during the week and on Friday. So I didn't want to be that type of person. So one particular night, after an all-nighter, getting high all night, I saw one of my friends, and he saw the runt that I was in. His name was Sam. And I told him I needed help. And he said, "Brad, you made the first step. You admitted that you need help." And so I went to rehab for 30 days. But you could find just as much drug in a rehab clinic as you could on the street. So it really didn't do me any good. So once I was released from rehab, I was still on probation after being released from prison. And I went home to my mother's house, my old bedroom. I closed the door. I was at the end of my road. And I fell on my knees, and I cried out to God, someone that my mother had introduced me to years ago. So I said, I have nowhere else to turn and no one else to call to. So I asked God, I said, "Lord, if you would, please violate my parole. Send me back to prison. I seek your face. Because if not, then I would die in my sin without even getting to know you." So I prayed that prayer, and I promise you, that was the quickest prayer that I ever had answered in my life. In 2 weeks, my parole was violated, and I went back to prison. And from that point on, I seek God.
But, you know, it's kind of interesting, just as a side, like you mentioned prayer, And I was going to ask you this anyway, but I'll go ahead and ask you this now since you brought prayer up. And even now, I assume you pray. You pray a lot. So how do you pray? I think about this sometimes because in church, for example, in other places, people pray. They ask blessings over food. But how do you pray? And I know it differs from one occasion to the other. And there are different kinds of prayers. But what do you think prayer is, the most effective prayers that will most likely get answered?
Well, Webb, I look at it like this. It's like you and I are sitting here talking right now. I talk to my God each and every day. You know, it's no particular thing. I pray for my health, my strength, and that he will continue to guide and lead me in the right direction, that I may not go astray, that I may continue to be used by him. And I think that should be everyone's prayer, that we be used by God, because sometimes we can step out on our own and step into a world of mess. So I talk to my God just about every day, nothing particular, but I thank him each and every day for a day.
Well, it's kind of interesting about what you said concerning you praying to be sent back, basically, to prison. And that was a more open, I would assume, prayer. You had something specifically in mind. But prayer also has to do with our continual communication with God. And I don't think that is referenced enough. In other words, for example, there's a scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, says that we need to pray without ceasing. What that says to me, we pray all the time.
All the time.
Even now.
All
I'm praying.
Time.
I'm praying that this interview goes like
time.
It should go. But again, we kind of get these images of how we should pray, that we should pray on our knees, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. And we should be vocal about it, and there's nothing wrong with that, certainly. But I think what you're saying is that you communicate with God by just that. Communicating with them every day, regardless of the situation. And basically that's what prayer is all about, talking or communicating with God. But you also have situations, again, as you mentioned, where you have a specific thing in mind, and you may even verbalize it, that in your case, you want it to be removed from your parole. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. So there are different ways of doing that, and I wanted to interject that. Let me ask you this. When you finally left that situation on the streets and your friends and everything, and of course you had to leave all of that, you left it behind, and eventually you came back, but what kind of relationship did you have with those individuals who you used to run around with, especially after you came to a knowledge of the Lord and wanted to move in a different direction? Did you still have contact with those individuals, or did you kind of cut them off, so to speak, and move in another direction?
I still have contact with my friends, and I'm so glad that I do. Some come visit me today at my home. We sit down and we talk, and they'll be wanting to know, how did I get where I'm at today? So they give me a chance to, because they knew me from my past, and I let them know that this is nothing that I've done. You know, I say it's only through the grace of God, number one, that I'm still here, and to look at his blessings since I have given my life to him means more to me than anything. This is how I can say within my heart that I know it's a God, because man didn't do this. Man did not change my heart. You know, I took the first step by asking him to come in and help me. And he did. It's not like he's going to get off of his throne and come down here and say, okay, Val, come on, let's go. Like Jesus did his disciples. See, they were blessed to even have Jesus to guide them and teach them things here on earth. But you can feel it within yourself when you know that it's God in the mix. I can't take credit for anything in my life. It would be like taking from God. I'm just a vessel willing to be used by Him. My friends, when they see me, they see a change in me. And like you were saying earlier on, you know, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. So I can honestly sit here and say today that I love God with all my heart and soul, because if it had not been for Him, I wouldn't be sitting here on this radio show today talking with you. A lot of my friends has passed and gone on, and I ask myself this question all the time. Did they know God? So.
Okay, well, that's great. We're going to go ahead and take a short break now, and when we return, I'm going to ask you about your experience being incarcerated. So we'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back. Val, I wanted to ask you this before we end this particular interview today, and I'd like to say to our listening audience that you will be back with us next time to finish your story. But I'd like to ask you about the time that you were incarcerated. You mentioned the fact that you prayed for God to end your parole and to basically get away from all of these negative influences in your life that you wanted to change. And so I think you mentioned the fact that you spent a certain amount of time incarcerated. I think you said 12 years?
25 years.
25 years.
Yes.
Okay. So tell us about that.
Well, being incarcerated, William, is during my early on years in prison, I still didn't want anything to do with God. I was having too much fun, even in being incarcerated. I mean, back during those days, I mean, you could have money on camp. You find a way of hustling and staying afloat, even in prison. So the game never stops, even if you're incarcerated. So I had a dear friend of mine by the name of Alfonso Meeks, who always came to me while I was incarcerated to try to get me to come to know the Lord for who He is. And I told him, man, I ain't got time for that. I mean, you know, just leave me alone, let me get my hustle on, you know. And so God knew that during my incarceration that I would find Him. He knew that, even though I didn't, because in prison is where I come to know the Lord. You know, I figured if I had continued to stay out here on the street and running and doing the things that I was doing, that I would never came to know Him for who He was. So this is one reason, once I paroled out and started back doing the same old thing that it took to get me in there, I knew that I had no other choice but to turn back to God once being paroled out and ask Him to violate my parole, because even though I was going to be away from my family, I'd rather be away from my family and still have a life to look forward to. He knew that one day I would bow down and ask Him to come into my life. He knew this, even when I didn't. And so this is why I'm so grateful for everything that has happened in my life, because I know it was of God.
So in other words, your time in prison, it wasn't a great deal of adapting to a new situation. You just carried on what had happened or what you were involved with before you got there.
Right. Most of my old friends that I knew was out. Some of them was there before I got there, and then I seen a lot of them come in there while I was there. So, I mean, it was like another world. Just had a fence around it. So we lived the same way in being incarcerated back during the early years. I say in the early 70s that we lived on the street. I mean, it was just as much drugs and all kind of stuff going on, even in prison. So, you know, the gambling, the making of the wine and the marijuana, everything that you wanted was right there in prison. So it was like home to me. I guess you could say I had become institutionalized at some point because it didn't bother me at all to be there. Yeah.
Okay, well, we're coming pretty close to the end of the program today. And as I said, I'm sure this will be inspiring to a lot of people. Who those people are, I'm not sure. But we broadcast all over. And a lot of people listen and hear because occasionally we do have video presentations as well, these podcasts. So I pray that some one person at least, and as many people as God wishes to have them changed as a result of your testimony, I pray that that will in fact happen. So we're going to go ahead and close now. Do you have any closing statements that you want to make as far as your history and your home life and your time on the streets?
Well, you know, William, my prayer today is that we all, as a race, can learn how to come together as one. That's my prayer today. When I look at everything that's going on around us in this world, you know, whether it be political or whatever, I just want and pray that the Lord will bring us together as one, and that we'll stop allowing powerful people to persuade our minds from where it should be.
Well, that's great. Thank you for being with us today. And of course, we will be back. And when we come back the next time, we'll talk more about your faith. This time it's been about your history. But just like we all have histories, thank goodness we all have a life after whatever negative history that we may have had. So we'll be back next time to talk about that. So I'd like to tell everyone that we will be back next time. And until then, I'd like you to know that whether you're going through some negative situations or some good situations for that matter, there's always more good things coming your way.